Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April. Jason and Natalie are not with me today, but we have one of our most favorite humans, Berry Nation expert, registered bariatric dietitian, Jeannie Boyer, with us today. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, good to
We're
see
so
you.
I know you too. Oh, we were just commenting. We're both in fabulous Berry Nation sweatshirts because this is how we live our life. It's comfortable, it's casual, and it sets us up to have an amazing conversation about a topic that is on everybody's mind in the bariatric community, and that is anti-obesity medication and nutrition for bariatric patients. So if you are thinking about onboarding an anti-obesity medication, right, a GLP-1, a Zepbound or a Wegovy, right, there's others out there. But if you're thinking about onboarding this medication or you have onboarded this medication, you're either wondering or you know that hitting our nutritional goals while taking these drugs can be challenging. So today's conversation is really all about how we as patients continue to hit those nutritional goals that we need to on the medication. But Jeannie's actually really going to go even further. She's going to help us understand how and why these medications work in our bariatric bodies, and dive a little bit deeper into this theory of set point, metabolic set point, right? As patients, if you're post-op, you know we can see a low weight, and then we can bounce back up. It's very frustrating, and we want to understand kind of why that happens. And Jeannie's going to really help us understand what the set point theory is, and give us a new perspective on understanding why that bounce happens. So before we jump into the conversation, Jeannie, I want to give the mic over to you so you can introduce yourself.
So I'm Jeannie Boyer. I'm a registered dietitian and I've been in the bariatric world for about 20 years. I love working with post-op patients. I think that's where it gets challenging. So year beyond, that's my sweet spot. And I'm really increasing my knowledge of the brain and how the brain works and how the history of our experiences, our brains, our thoughts affect our eating and our weight. And so GLP-1s on the market is like a ties it all up. Like it's where things happen. So,
And if you are not familiar with Jeannie, if you've never met Jeannie before, every time you say you've been in the bariatric space for 20 years, 2 decades, I just can't believe it because A, you don't look like you're even that old, but you have so much like wisdom behind those 2 decades. Every time you lead in the Berry Nation membership community, every time you're in the podcast, I've even had the opportunity to work one-on-one with you, which you guys, you can work one-on-one with Jeannie. She's amazing. I leave with so much information. And what we very much appreciate about you, Jeannie, is you're able to connect with patients at the patient level. You keep it real, you keep it honest, you really let people know this is important, but this is where I really want you to focus your time and energy and attention in learning, because this is where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. You're very skilled at that.
Well, thank you. Yes.
All right. Well, before we dive into this conversation, I will let you all know Jeannie is teaching an amazing class in the Berry Nation membership community at the end of March, March 26th at 8 p.m. She's leading a GLP-1 deep dive class. She's really going to dive into set point. She's going to dive into understanding really why these medications can be beneficial for the rest of your life. But she's going to go into just so many facets of these medications, talking about it from kind of that bigger 30,000 foot view, and then from the very specific bariatric patient view. So if you are interested in really learning more about these medications, join the Berry Nation membership community, sign up, take Jeannie's class. And then she also leads monthly nutritional Q&As and classes in that community. So you have an opportunity to connect with Jeannie throughout the month and ask your nutritional-based questions to one of the most amazing registered dietitians that exists in our bariatric community. So join and connect.
Totally join.
Totally join. All
Not
right,
just
friends.
me, but it's I mean, me as not a patient, as a expert, love just being in the nation and scrolling the feed and hearing what people are saying and the connections. Like, it's much more valuable than just the nutrition knowledge you'll get from me.
I appreciate you saying that, because people are always blown away that the experts leading in Berry Nation are also the ones that are interacting with them at the patient level. Like, I mean, Jeannie, I see you in there. You're in there almost every single day commenting on what people are posting, helping to answer questions. You're encouraging, you're uplifting. It really is a space where everybody belongs. And even though you're not a patient, Jeannie, you have supported patients for so long. You really understand what we go through on a level that some practitioners just aren't quite as skilled at, because you spend so much time working with, supporting, guiding, leading, uplifting patients.
Hey friends, it's April, and I want to welcome Dive Bar Nutrition to the Berry Nation family. They are official sponsor of the Berry Nation podcast, and we are thrilled to have Professor Phil and his team on board. Jason, Natalie, and I have been enjoying Dive Bars for years because they taste amazing, they have great macros, and they are really built to help us succeed. Dive Bar Nutrition is just launching a new bariatric friendly called Dive Bar Bites. They're the mini versions of their best-selling bars, and they're caffeine-free. You can buy a Dive Bar Madness kit and discover what flavor is your favorite. Head to Dive Bar Nutrition right now, get that Dive Bar Madness kit, and join us to crown your favorite Dive Bar flavor at the end of March. And don't forget to use code BERRYNATION when you check out to get 22% off your order.
You're amazing. You really are.
And so is Berry Nation.
I think so too. I think so too. Yeah. All right, friend. Well, I say let's dive in.
Okay. Let's go.
All right. So if you have been listening or watching to the podcast for a very long time, you know that we like to kind of start at the very beginning and make sure that we're speaking the same language. So today's conversation is about a class of medications called anti-obesity medications. And these medications are designed to help fight and treat the disease of obesity, right? There's lots of medications that fall under this category. The one that you've probably heard most about is Zepbound, which used to be called Mounjaro, or Wegovy. And these are GLP-1 medications. This is the new rage. I myself am on a GLP-1. I've been on one for my gosh, this October will probably be 2 years, and it has helped me lose an additional 50 pounds. Yeah. It's been a struggle. Not gonna lie. It's been a very different experience than just my surgical one. But the reason I have been able to lose more weight and maintain that weight is in part due to the medications that I've onboarded. And we'll get into that a little bit. But the place where we want to start is, Jeannie, will you explain to us how these medications help people lose weight from a nutritional standpoint?
Sure. So first thing, I think the reason these are so sensational beyond just how much weight loss people experience is they work in a different way. Like, they're not necessarily just increasing metabolism or decreasing appetite a little bit. They're working in the brain on what triggers us to want to eat. So there's a couple pathways. Don't ask me to like say the words, say the letters. POMC. So this is a pathway that tells us like we need to eat less and store less. And some folks, that pathway works great for them. They could walk down the sidewalk and smell Krispy Kreme or whatever and be like, oh, smells good, and keep walking. But others may have, there's a different pathway that kind of sends a signal of store more, eat more. And that's more active with people with obesity. These medications help that first pathway work a little stronger, be more active. So you hear people say it like reduces the food noise in your head. It affects like the drive to want to eat. Another way it works is it delays or slows gastric emptying. So food stays in your stomach longer. And so that is good, like you're full longer, but that's where some of the challenges come in with meeting your nutrition goals while on these medications.
And as a bariatric patient who has struggled with food noise my entire life, I can say surgery absolutely helped me manage that for about the first 2 years. And after that, that food noise, that constant deep hunger returned. And despite working one-on-one with a coach, despite prescribed movement, really focusing on my macros, attending Berry Nation support groups, all of those things, I regained some weight. Yeah. And that frustration was real. And I have this conversation. We have this conversation all the time with people in the bariatric community. It is so damn frustrating to really, truly be doing everything right and not see the result that we're actually hoping for.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And these medications help your effort, help your result match the effort that you are putting in. Because I noticed that I am much fuller for much longer. I eat much less than I was before. My desire to eat is definitely decreased. I have a much easier time recognizing cravings and bypassing them or just having a little. My cautionary tale to my own personal experience with GLP-1 is it has even decreased my desire to do some other fun things that I used to really enjoy.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which was very interesting, but it really helped me understand that my disease of obesity is much deeper than calories in, calories out.
Which is true for, I mean, I would say 99.9% of the people. Like, you know, that's what doctors used to believe. That's what I was educated, you know, on 27 years ago. It's like, oh, eat less, move more. If that was the truth, we wouldn't be talking today. Like we wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not true. Yeah.
No, it's not. And what, from a patient perspective, what can be frustrating is, okay, I finally got to the place where, oh, okay, I'm going to have surgery. And then you have surgery and things are rocking and rolling, right? Rapid weight loss, you know, all of your metabolic markers are improving. I mean, I had horrible sleep apnea. I never used the machine the day I woke up from surgery. A1C, totally normal. Cholesterol, normal, right? Like all of these things that were going to lead to other issues in my life were reversed by bariatric surgery, including that desire, that hunger, all of that stuff. But then it returned despite the surgery. And as a patient, it's so frustrating. And sometimes I use the word deceived because you do feel a little bit deceived. I had surgery. All of this was supposed to go away. I wasn't going to have to think, obsess, worry about food anymore. My weight was going to stay low forever. And you're telling me that's not true?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I know.
So, right. And you know, because you've worked with thousands of patients, you see this, right? People get to that low weight, you hit just this awful realization that surgery is not going to be enough. And you're frustrated. And that frustration, that feeling of deceit can really push us to make decisions that are not necessarily aligned with our bariatric life. And that's why you see such high rates of significant regain among patients. Yep. I can tell you these medications offered me the same hope that I felt and experienced when I made the decision to have surgery and when I had surgery. I also know from my personal experience, I could never weigh 180 pounds without surgery, medication, the support of the community, focusing on my diet and nutrition, focusing on my mindset, like movement, mindset, metabolic wellness community. Without the pillars, surgery, and medication, I would not weigh what I weigh today and I would not be metabolically well.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. Full
Which
stop.
Also, long list. It's not energy in, energy out.
No.
It's that plus a lot more.
Correct. So earlier, Jeannie, when you were talking about the pathways, right? There's those two pathways. Are you talking about, are those pathways hormonal? Is it physical? Like what are the things that are driving people to eat less, store less, or eat more, store more?
So it's like communication and in the brain. So, which can be hormones. It's just how signals are sent in the brain and how we react to external triggers. So when it quiets this noise, it's that those external triggers are not as strong in your brain anymore. Like that example of smelling the whatever on the
Yeah.
sidewalk, like that smells good, keep on going, because it's not processed in your brain as loud, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you should say that. I have noticed this recently. There are certain smells in my house or just in the world that all of a sudden I'm noticing I'm not reacting to as I used to. And like, I know the reaction isn't there. Like, it's just bizarre,
Yeah.
but it's because of these medications, and the connection that it has to, yeah, to
Yeah.
my disease.
Right.
So the question that often comes up in the community as related to GLP-1s and our disease of obesity is this theory of set point theory. Will you explain to us what the theory is?
Yeah, I will do my best. So I love that it's set point theory. So it makes sense. You see it a lot, but it is still considered like a theory. There's not like a scientific proof that this happens in every body. And I was listening to an interview with Dr. Stanford. She's from Harvard. She's a professor at Harvard and works at Mass General in the obesity medicine space. And she's like, she likes to call it a set point kind of range, which I love because I often will coach clients that like find your happy weight. And that's not one number. That's like, oh, this feels a little too low and this feels a little too high. You decide what that range is. So our brains are always looking like deep down, kind of that animal brain idea. Our brains are always looking for safety and reward and that homeostasis. Like everything is like as it should be and going like it did yesterday. So as you lose weight rapidly, whether that's after surgery or after or taking one of these medications, that's happening metabolically. It's happening. You're eating less, you're able to move more, you have more energy, you're losing weight. Well, down deep in that brain, that's like, I like homeostasis and I like safety. They're like, what the heck? This isn't safe. This isn't how we were yesterday. Like, we need to stop this. So it starts sending the hormones and the signals to tell your body to slow down the metabolism and increase the appetite, which stinks. I know. Because you worked so hard, like you're feeling great, and all of a sudden you feel hungrier, or all of a sudden, like, what's happening? So that's one part is you had this set point, you made a drastic change, the brain is like, what the hell? Kind of going on a tangent now. The other thing that happens is let's say you lost 50 pounds. Okay, well, now the energy that you need to take in to maintain that 50 pounds, that less 50 pounds is different than what it was when you had it, like you're less. And the exercise that it took to lose 50 pounds has been done. It's going to take more to lose more. So if you stay at the activity and the energy that you were when you started the medication, then you lose 50 pounds. It's not as effective. I feel like I need to draw a chart to explain that, but that's another part that I think people forget is like, oh, now I weigh less, so I require less. And that's even though you were eating less all along.
And for me personally, I got to that low weight with surgery. So the lowest weight I ever saw with bariatric surgery and all of those other things was 205, and I saw it for one day. And then my body pretty rapidly shot me back up to 220, 225. I think 229 was the highest that I saw. And it sent absolute panic waves through my life, through my DNA, because right, set point theory really believes that your body has this weight that it is happy at. And my set point definitely was 326 pounds, that 320 range. That was where my body got to, and that was where it wanted to stay, despite everything that I was doing to break out of that. And I could feel, I could tell that my body was, right, something was really wanting me to get back there, because everything that I was doing was not impacting my weight. Granted, right, I was still healthier than I had ever been. I was still able to, you know, hit nutritional goals, all that kind of stuff. I was strong. I was fit. You know, I was working out. I was moving. I was doing all of those things. So it's not like I wasn't unhealthy. It was this single component of my gravitational pull towards the planet that was throwing off my game and frustrating me. And that was what sparked me to pursue anti-obesity medications.
Well, I think it's hard because, like you said a while back, with the effort, the decision it makes to have surgery and then to see the scale go the wrong direction is really hard and frustrating. And that just compounds that stress in your brain, that lack of motivation. You're like, what the, I'm not, all this hard work and nothing's being, I'm not seeing anything. So it makes it even harder. So that's one of the many benefits I see to the anti-obesity medications is now you've got a little extra power, a little help to like, oh, your efforts are, you are being, seeing results from these efforts. Another little thing about set point is sometimes it's scary because you're like, well, what if I lose 50 pounds? What if I lose 30 pounds? And don't have the medication anymore, am I going to go right back up?
Hey, this is April, one of your hosts. If the Berry Nation podcast has made a positive impact on your life, become a supporter. For $5 a month, you can help us produce this podcast. Your support would mean the world to us. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to learn more.
Some of the research studies, they show, yes, people regain weight after they stop the medication, but they don't regain all of it. And I believe that another part of set point theory is time. So after surgery, it's been a year. You might stay around the same weight for another 6 months. Like your set point is now not 320 anymore. It might not be 205, but it's okay. Well, let's 220. That's where our body's going to set point. So I think the same thing can happen with these medications, that you lose, you're in the maintaining range, your set point's going to shift a little bit.
Well, but before we hit record, it was the first time that I had heard any expert talk about time at set point in the same conversation. And why that's fascinating to me is, right, I lost my weight in about a year and a half after surgery. I got to my low weight at 18 months after surgery, and I didn't stay there. I got to 205, and then I very instantly did this like bounce to 210, 211, and I hung out there for maybe a month or two or 3 months. And then I went up even further, but I stabilized at that 220 range. I was there for months and months, probably a good 6 months. But when I take even a further step back and I really think about time, losing 120 pounds in 18 months, that is rapid weight loss, right? That is a blip in my life. And then I panicked when I was at a higher weight for, let's just say, 6 months. Again, a blip
and
of time.
Much at a higher weight, you know, not 100 pounds higher.
No, right? not 100 pounds higher. But the panic, the sheer panic that took over every facet of my life 24 hours a day because I was regaining. I did not give, I probably didn't give enough time to my body or to the situation, to the disease, to really have it, I guess, I don't even know if stabilize is the right word. But as a patient, and I'm speaking from my own patient experience, that panic was so overwhelming. It was so all consuming that I couldn't do anything else in my life because I was absolutely terrified that I was going to get back up to 326 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. And I know you see it too. It is absolute panic and terror.
Yeah. And that just add that to everything that's going on in your brain. And
yes.
And then it makes it even harder to lose weight.
It does, right? Because now
stress response is going and cortisol is happening and
oh my God, right? Because
it's so hard to like stop that that shame and that holy feeling.
Yeah.
But that first step is going to help you lose weight. But it's so hard to be like, how can I not stress about this? Like,
yeah.
So right? Something because I work with patients is like, okay, yes, show me what you eat. We'll talk about that. But also like, let's tackle this stress component. It's like what's happening in your brain.
Hey, Berry friends, it's Natalie and it is the holiday season. Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for your berry pal? Maybe you finally realized that you also deserve to get something special this holiday season. Why not give the gift of bariatric support with an annual membership to the Berry Nation support community? With over 80 live ways to connect, learn, and grow with bariatric dietitians, mental health experts, movement specialists, surgeons, and peers, you and your loved ones are bound to find the support needed for a successful and supported bariatric life. For just over $1 a day, you and your Berry fam can enjoy the gift that keeps on giving with the Berry Nation Support Community annual membership. Head to the Berry Nation website, berrynation.com, to learn more.
Right? Because as patients, we want this math equation to be simple, elegant, and beautiful. Right? It's what I eat, it's what I consume, plus me moving my body equals I'm going to weigh this forever.
Math should work. And it
math, exactly. That the math should math. And that equation could be that equation doesn't exist because again, from my patient experience, what I have come to understand is my obesity math equation is sure what I consume, my output, plus surgery, plus 8 million other things that happen every single day that I think are not related to my obesity, but that are actually contributing to that because it's what I'm thinking. It's what I'm telling myself. It's, did I walk on the beach today? And what emotions or feelings were brought up because I found a piece of sea glass and that reminded me of my grandfather and that took me down a grief spiral. And then that, you know, it's like every little thing that happens in our life can be an input that is triggering part of that disease, right? The obesity equation is,
it's not simple.
Nobody.
It is. Whew. I remember, what was that, trigonometry in high school? It is beyond trigonometry. But yeah, like you think input, like people think calories in, calories out all the time. It's still common out there in the world that, oh, this is, why don't you just eat less? Why don't you just move more? Like, it's not that simple. Like the input is not just apple versus Snickers bar. Like you said, no. It's the thoughts. It's the things that come across in your day. It's what people say. It's stress. It's sleep. It's other medications. It's complicated.
It is. It is very complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And each individual is different. Like I'd see the sea glass and think of my grandmother and like get a little joy, you know?
Right.
But for it, you, yeah.
Sometimes it really amazes me at just how little is known about a disease that impacts so many people. Mm-hmm. But it's hopeful to me that, right, we have bariatric surgery, which is the most effective treatment for the disease of obesity. But like every other disease out there, a single treatment is not going to be the cure, is not going to be the treatment. It requires so many.
To think that that's it with obesity. But think about every, like, kidney disease, heart disease, high blood pressure. Like, it's not just, there you go, you don't need to think about it anymore.
Yeah. Well, and my theory on that is obesity is still very much seen as a personal problem, as something that somebody is doing. And the solution to that then is just to become a better person, right? And it's not further from the truth as somebody who has suffered through it. And I know you see it every day, Jeannie, working with patients. And part of this solution, I mean, part of the math equation when it comes to obesity is understanding that it is not a you problem, right? Obesity is a disease, not a decision. Dr. Eric Smith gave us that great line, right, in a podcast. But what is also true is that once you acknowledge you have the disease of obesity, you have thousands of decisions that you do need to make every day when it comes to how you treat your disease.
Which is true of any other disease, if you think about it. And so that might sound harsh, but I think it's empowering of like, okay, here's my diagnosis. Here's all my treatment options.
Yes. And what I have personally experienced throughout my bariatric journey, surgery and medication, is that those two big tools help me make decisions throughout my day that are better aligned to treating my disease of obesity. Because when I was not on those medications, it was very difficult to make decisions that were aligned. And now that I am on medications, it's much easier for me to make those decisions. Where I struggle as a patient currently is ensuring that I actually hit my nutritional goals, right? Because my desire to eat is less. I just physically, I'm fuller. It definitely has changed the landscape. I very much feel like I am a freshly post-op bariatric patient, even though I'll be 5 years post-op this summer. So what can we do, Jeannie, from a nutritional standpoint to ensure that we are still taking in what we need to take in to be metabolically well on medication?
There's a huge challenge with these medications. Like I've
Oh,
seen
I know.
it. I know some family members that have taken it and coworkers, and like their intake just plummets. Like one meal a day sometimes for folks. And even that meal, you sit down to eat it and you're like, I don't want it.
Right?
So a lot of what I'm going to recommend will sound familiar to like early post-op days, but you really want to, you most likely will need to reduce your portions and increase your frequency. So if you've been eating 3, 4 times a day, it might need to be 6, which is hard because you're not going to be like, oh, I feel like eating. Which
Yes.
then you need to bring in an expert to figure out how you're going to like divide that out. Because I think another risk in general with nutrition and health and weight is the frequent eating can kind of get you to like, oh, I don't really feel hungry. I don't really feel full. I'm just gonna eat. So it in breaking down those small frequent meals, you want to kind of schedule it to plan it. Not necessarily like meal prep and put it all in your fridge, but like have a vision in your head. Like this is what I'll eat at this time. This is how much I'll eat at this time. The other thing is prioritize protein. With rapid weight loss, surgery, medication, whatever, you're at risk for losing muscle mass. With this medication, that's what we fear for people is we see muscle wasting. So you really gotta like focus on the protein and make sure you're getting enough. And the people I was asking actually some of the providers I work with about their experience with the meds. And one was telling me that people that are really successful and kind of are able to maintain well when the medication is stopped have really done a good job at muscle maintenance of like keeping their muscle up as they're losing their fat. So eat small, more frequent, more protein. You should be taking your vitamins, so keep doing that. Some of the problems people come across, nausea, vomiting, constipation, diarrhea. Those are, I'd say nausea and constipation are the ones I hear about the most. Things that help with that is sometimes things just need to be cold, like not these fragrant, warm, multiple spices, like they sound great, but maybe for a while on the medication, you just need something cold.
Right. And something simple.
Exactly. Yeah. Deli turkey and some cucumbers. Like, yeah. The other thing is you could play around with what you eat on injection day and on those next 3 days. That's usually when the symptoms are the worst. Yeah. Eat well that morning, take it in the afternoon, plan to have those bland cold foods for the next 3 days. That can be helpful.
I've definitely noticed that there on the day that I take my injection, and then the next day or two, it is definitely a different experience than throughout the rest of the week.
Yeah.
What has been a real struggle for mine, and I don't, well, it's related and it's not. 3 weeks ago, I tore my calf muscle.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, doing the exact same thing that I've always done on the treadmill. This is a lifelong issue for me. I've always had tight calf muscles. This isn't anything new. But what that experience taught me is that I have absolutely stopped paying attention to my nutrition on my GLP-1. I went through a really rough patch in December at a personal level. I lost my grandfather. My husband got reassigned and is out of state working, just all kinds of stuff, right? Just turmoil. And that moment absolutely arrested my thought process when it came to kind of taking care of me. But what did ramp up was my movement. So all of a sudden I was moving more frequently than I had in months, and my nutrition absolutely took a back seat. Coincidental, I'm sure, but in the back of my brain, the very first thing I thought of was, you have not been eating enough to sustain this life that you want. And for whatever reason, the universe and my body was like, hey, then this is your signal to like absolutely start paying attention to it. And the very first thing that I did after I had that moment with myself was get serious about my protein again. And I'm not a person who likes to enjoy pre-done shakes and things
Yeah.
like that. But I really had to not only give myself permission, but also just give myself a directive. Hey, look, if you cannot consume 100 grams of protein a day, like chewing, then
Right.
you need to figure out how you are going to take that in. So I am finding that I'm back to consuming some pre-made shakes. I mean, right now we're recording and I'm drinking my morning coffee. There's 30 grams of protein in here. I have shakes in my fridge. I am relying on protein bars, dive bars. I have a dive bar almost every single day. And I've been doing that since I tore my calf muscle. And I'm even noticing improvements, and I'm not moving my body at all intentionally now because I need to recover.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing positive things happen because of that. Now, maybe it's because I'm not stressing out about moving so much, right? Lots of things can be going into that.
Yeah. And there,
But it's m making a difference.
yeah. And it's easy to think like, oh, I gotta drink a protein drink again. But even myself, I've been trying to eat more protein. And I'll do like little, almost like little shots, like just a half a scoop, mix it in my cottage cheese. A half a scoop and a little water, just get it. So you don't have to like drink these shakes again. There's lots of ways we can kind of sneak in protein to up your intake.
Yep, a ton of ways. Even last night, and I know eating right before you go to bed is maybe not the best for digestion, but on my way up to bed, so normally I go upstairs, wash my face, brush my teeth. I'm not like I don't get into bed right away, but I kind of have this little evening routine. Stella and I, who's my 13-pound Havanese, we've been sharing string cheese,
Oh
right? So I go upstairs and I got three sticks of string cheese. Well, I eat two and she eats one, and we kind of enjoy it, and we talk about our day, right? We have a very in-depth conversation. Yeah, we bond. And in 20 minutes, I get 12 grams of protein in. Then I go and wash my face and brush my teeth, and I got my little morning routine. And 20 minutes later, I'm laying in bed. But it dawned on me just the other night. I was like, it is just these little tweaks that I can do along the way. Because I think where I get hung up, and I think other patients get hung up, is we think, oh my God, I have to eat six times a day. I have to have six meals.
Yeah, no,
No,
yeah.
It's not necessarily a meal. And for me now, a meal is very different. I need to be intentional about when I'm consuming foods. I need to make sure that when I am consuming almost anything, it involves some protein. And just get away from the panic about how many times I'm eating a day and focus on, have I hit my nutritional goals today? It's a
And
mindset shift.
totally. And it goes back to like everybody's individual, because I could see a client and be like, okay, we're doing breakfast, lunch, dinner, one small snack. And then the next person, okay, we're gonna eat every 2 hours and it's gonna be this thing, because that's what works for them and where they feel comfortable. As much as same surgery, same medicine, they're different people.
And I really appreciate you saying that, right? Because if you're the type of person that functions well or thrives in a scheduled eating situation, you have permission to do that. If you're someone who doesn't thrive in that, then you have permission to explore other ways of feeding yourself, of taking in nutrition for ways that work for you. The whole goal here is that you do find something that works for you currently. And that's the other thing that I know that trips people up, because what worked before surgery might not work after. Life changes, and sometimes our systems, our routines, our practices, our habits, whatever word you want to use there, it also needs to change. But if we're stuck in this rigidity of what we used to do, you might keep bumping into walls after because it just doesn't work anymore.
It go like I sometimes struggle to explain to folks that like they want to lose like oh, I'm going back to the protein drinks. I'm just gonna go. And I'm like, It's not the protein drinks that caused your weight loss right after surgery. Like, yes, that's all you're eating because you're gonna need a liquid and we need to prioritize protein, but it's not the protein drinks that made you lose weight. There's lots of other things going on. And so it's hard just logically. You're like, oh, I was losing weight, I was doing this, let's do that again. But we're at a different spot. Like your surroundings are different, your body is different. So it takes like almost, I wouldn't say constant, I would say regular evaluation, regular kind of looking at all the elements and making adjustments.
And I would use the word constant, and I know sometimes that's scary, but for me, if I'm not constantly and consciously thinking about these things, my unconscious mind takes over, and my unconscious mind is stuck in 2017. My unconscious mind is stuck in the height of my untreated obesity. My unconscious mind is not yet my bariatric mind. So if I'm not living there, I'm living in my past, and I would very much like to continue to treat my disease of obesity. Oh my goodness. Okay. We always leave these conversations with probably more questions than answers, but what's the big takeaway, Jeannie, that you're hoping people leave this conversation with?
I think these medications are amazing. We're seeing it. There's more that are going to be that are currently being studied and under FDA trials, so it's not ending. But there's still not the magic bullet. Like it still takes the work, it still takes the evaluation, it still takes like figuring it out for you. So if you're considering one, consider all that comes with it, I would say.
Oh, that just gave me chills. Dang.
Which we will talk about all that comes with it in my class at the end of the month.
Oh, I so appreciate you saying that. And from my patient brain, I went into surgery thinking it was just going to be one thing, even though I was told, well, there's going to be lifestyle changes and you're going to need to do these things. You don't know what you don't know until all of a sudden you realize, oh my God. And I didn't understand what they meant by lifestyle change. I know so now.
I mean,
So, right? Yeah. So if you are a bariatric patient and you are post-op, really think about what Jeannie just said. Consider all that comes with it. Consider really put yourself back in that freshly post-op brain when you realized, oh my God, I actually, what this means is all of this. Medication means all of that. And again, from my lived patient experience, if I didn't go through the bariatric process, the surgical process first, if I wasn't involved, heavily involved in a bariatric community, if I wasn't connecting with experts like you every single day, medication would not be successful.
I see that. I see that people that come in our clinic get the prescription, don't see them again, and when I do see them again, it's not great.
It's not great. It is not great. So I very much appreciate you calling the importance of consider everything that goes with it, not just the thing.
Hey, this is April. Jason, Nat, and I love making this podcast for you each and every week, but we need your help to keep it going. Become a Berry Nation podcast supporter for $5 a month and help us produce this show. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to join us.
Dang, dang. Every time, Jeannie, every time. Every time you leave me just questioning everything, but you also leave me inspired and very hopeful that I can figure this out. And if you're listening or if you're watching this podcast, I hope you are also leaving this conversation inspired and filled with hope, because the disease of obesity is lifelong and chronic. It will be something that you will have to manage your entire life. Mm-hmm. But there are people, there are practices, there is a community, and there are options out there for you. It does take you tapping into them and pursuing those options and really living that life every single day. But the reward for that is this feeling of hope, is the knowledge that you can continue to treat it, that you can fight back, and that you can be metabolically well. Mm-hmm. It's possible. It's possible.
100%.
Jeannie, where can people connect with you if they would like to?
You can just email me, simple, jeannie@jeannieboyer.com. If you're a part of the nation, you can message me there. And you can follow me on Instagram and BerrySuccessRD. You should find me there.
And we'll make sure all of these are linked in our show notes. And truly, friends, if you're listening or watching this conversation and you're like, oh my God, okay, but I just want to ask her this, or you are looking for a safe place to actually practice this. So to continue to hear this type of education, to have a safe place to ask those questions, to practice what you want to try, and then do the work in community, join the Berry Nation membership community. It is this conversation times 100 with other patients and experts, 80 times a month. Mm-hmm. Not even joking. We have 80 of these type of live supports that happen in the community with experts, with peers. And you get to tap into as many of those as you would like, right? Your membership is unlimited. So if you want to connect with Jeannie every month, if you want to connect with Laura, if you want to connect with Tamisha, if you want to connect with everybody that we have working in Berry Nation, you can do so every single day. Which is pretty amazing.
Right. It is.
Oh, Jeannie, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for your expertise, your knowledge, and just for being who you are, because you truly are a rock star in the bariatric community.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always fun to chat.
Always, always, always. Well, if Jason was here, he would say the magic phrase, but I will do so. Just remember, friends, at the end of the day, you've got this and we've got you. We'll see you soon.
Bye.